بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وعن أبي نجيد عمران بن الحسين الخزاعي رضي الله عنهما أن امرأة من جهينة أتت نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهي حبلى من الزنا. Imran bin Hussein al-Khuzai, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that a woman from the tribe of Juhayna came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while she was pregnant from zina, adultery, and said to him, فَقَالَتْ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ أَصَبْتُ حَدًّا فَأَقِمْهُ عَلَيْهِ. O Messenger of Allah, I have committed an offense liable to had, the prescribed punishment, so exact the execution of the sentence. Allahu Akbar. اللهم ارض عنها. فدعا نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وليها فقال أحسن إليها فإذا وضعت فأتني. The messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم called her guardian and said to him, treat her kindly, bring her to me after delivery of the child. ففعل. So he did. فأمر بها النبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فشكت عليها ثيابها. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded to carry out the sentence. Her clothes were secured around her and she was stoned to death. ثم صلى عليها. Then the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام led her funeral prayers. فقال له عمر, عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه, said to him, تصلي عليها يا نبي الله وقد زنت. O Messenger of Allah, she committed zina and you have performed funeral prayer for her. قال لقد تابت توبة لو قسمت بين 70 من أهل المدينة لوسعتهم. الله أكبر. He replied, verily she made repentance which would suffice for 70 of the people of Al-Madinah if it is divided among them. وَهَلْ وَجَدْتَ تَوْبَةً أَفْضَلَ مِنْ أَنْ جَادَتْ بِنَفْسِهَا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. Can there be any higher degree of repentance than that she sacrificed her life voluntarily to win the pleasure of Allah the Exalted? So this is the case of a woman from Juhayna, from the tribe of Juhayna. She came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam while she was pregnant from zina, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And she said, Ya Rasulallah, inni qad asabtu haddan faaqimhu alayhi. O Messenger of Allah, I have been liable to deserve a prescribed punishment, so establish it upon me. So the Nabiullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for her guardian and told him to treat her kindly and that when she delivers, let bring her to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So when she delivered her child, he brought her to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he commanded that her clothes be secured around her lest any of her awra be exposed. ثُمَّ أمر بها فرجمت. Then he commanded that she be stoned and she was stoned, meaning with stones, neither big nor small, until she died. So and the Prophet ﷺ then offered the funeral prayer upon her and invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for her as goes in the funeral dua. So Umar said, O Messenger of Allah, تصلي عليها يا رسول الله وقد زنت. You offer the salah for her while she committed zina, and zina is from the major sins. So the Prophet ﷺ said, لقد تابت توبة لو قسمت على 70 من أهل المدينة لوسعتهم. She made a repentance which would suffice for 70 of the people of Medina if it is divided among them, meaning a vast degree of repentance. If it is divided upon 70 who commit sins in Medina, it would suffice them and would benefit them. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can there be any higher degree of repentance than that she sacrificed her voluntarily, her life voluntarily, to win the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal? So she surrendered herself, admitting what she did, knowing the punishment, in order, as a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to free herself from the sin of zina. Can there be anything higher than this? In this hadith there are many benefits. First, that the zani who commits the zina, وَهُوَ مُحْصَن, meaning married, then it's a must that he be stoned. It's an obligation. And this was the ordinance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. It was a verse the Muslims read and memorized and contemplated and executed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stoned, and the Khulafa, the rightly guided Khulafa caliphs after him, also stoned. However, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ بِحِكْمَتِهِ, but due to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah abrogated this verse from the Quran, abrogated the text, and left the ruling continuing in this ummah. So this is an abrogation of text, but not of ruling. And we have studied the forms of abrogations before. Those who missed this important class on the different types of abrogations, we recommend them to go to the site and review that. So when the married adulterer commits the adultery, he is to be stoned to death, will be made to stand in an open place and people called, and take from stones that which they will cast at him until he dies. And this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not legislate that the adulterer be killed by the sword and thus finish him. Rather, be stoned until he suffers and tastes the pain of the punishment for the unlawful enjoyment that he sought. Because this adulterer in his committing of the illegal sexual intercourse, he enjoyed that entirely in his whole body. And so from the wisdom was that this body should take of the punishment proportional to this unlawful enjoyment it received. And that's why the people of knowledge said, rahimahumullah, it is not permissible to use big stones, because this will finish him quickly. And then, however, also it is not to be, there should not also be a usage of small stones, because these will harm him and extend his death. However, to use medium size until he tastes the pain. Now, if someone says, But didn't the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, إذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة? If you kill, then do it in a good way. And if you ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبح. And if you slaughter, then do it in a good way. And if we resort to the sword, that will be more comfortable than the stoning, than using the stones. The answer, we say, certainly. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith. If you kill, then kill in a good way. If you slaughter, then slaughter in a good way. However, the good in the killing is that which agrees with the Sharia. And thus, stoning is goodness because it agrees with the Sharia. So therefore, if someone now, a criminal, goes and kills someone intentionally, but he mutilates him or do harm him in ways before killing him. So we do the same before killing him. We do the same to him as he did in his crime before we kill him. Take for example, a criminal killed someone, cut off his hand, cut off his feet, then his tongue, then his head. So we don't resort in our punishment, in the legal punishment, we don't resort to the safe, to the sword to kill him. Rather, the same treatment. His head will be cut, his hands, his feet, his legs, his tongue. In the same manner, he did it. And this is considered goodness in the killing. Because the goodness in the killing is that which agrees with the Sharia in the way or any form it prescribes. And in this hadith, there is evidence for the permissibility to for a person to testify upon himself for committing adultery in order to be purified by the prescribed punishment. Not to expose himself. So the person who comes to the imam, to the Muslim leader, and tells about himself that he committed, he is not to be blamed for telling, but if he goes out and tells the people, I have committed zina, this is somebody who is exploring himself. And he is not from those whom the Prophet ﷺ spoke as mu'afa in the hadith, all of the sins of my followers will be forgiven. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahirin," except those who commit a sin openly and disclose their sins to the people. So he's not going to be from those who will be forgiven if he exposes himself in this way. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked, من المجاهرين, who are those who commit a sin openly and disclose, he said, الذي يفعل الذنب ثم يستره الله عليه ثم يصبح يتحدث به. The one who, the example of such disclosure is that a person commits a sin at night, and though Allah screens it from the public, then he comes in the morning and says, oh, oh so and so, I did such and such evil yesterday. This is in Bukhari. Bukhari, volume 8, hadith 95. Now if someone asks the question, is it better, which is better for the person if he commits adultery to go to the judge and confess and the prescribed punishment be established upon him, or is it better that he shields it upon himself? The answer is that this requires details. It may be that the person really had sincere repentance and regretted, and he knew that he will not return. Then in this case, it is better that he should not go to inform about himself, but rather keep the matter as secret between himself and Allah, and whoever repents, sincerely Allah accepts his or her repentance. However, the one who fears that his tawbah is not sincere and fears that he may return and commit the same sin again, then in this case, what's better for him is that he goes to the authority or to the judge to confess so that the had, the prescribed legal punishment, is established upon him. This concludes the discussion on this hadith. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.